views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
No problem with the changes that they made to Flash Thompson. I'm just saying he does not lead into the Venom, the Agent Venom that we get in
sure.
the comics now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
right.
not the same character.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen because we are dealing with the multiverse on multiple levels here, which is why it's so smart that they had the animated series What If, because not only does it get us more familiar with the idea of having a bunch of different versions of these characters from different multiverses,
mm-hmm.
so it's like testing the water a little bit. We're putting our little toesies in to feel it out.
It's like, okay.
Is what Loki was doing too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but Loki was a much more focused version of doing that.
Sure. Right.
It's dealing with one character exposure to the multiverse, whereas What If is talking about like
all
the multiverse interaction.
With Loki, it just didn't show it, but it left those possibilities open given the What If now that actually shows the characters what they could be doing, the different worlds that possibly the MCU will be testing waters with in the actual like films.
Yeah.
Well, but also it does give everybody that's got like a super hard on for some version of the Marvel universe that isn't really doable for the actual MCU like Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
Where of course they had to drop that first season, and they will probably revisit it as well because it's such a huge thing.
Yeah.
But that's like, look, we can't put this in the movies. It's going to be a whole phase if
it turns
they did
into
that.
A completely different like experience. Like, even though Marvel up to this point with the MCU, they've had like specific genres for certain movies, they still had to share one big universe. You doing zombie movie in the middle of that kind of throws all that for a curve.
A lot of the what some people don't know depends on where you are comic wise. A lot of the MCU comes from the Ultimate Universe, which was killed off in the comics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So does that even still open the door with now the What If going into the multiverse? Does that open up that even if they need another change in phase, they could kill off a whole universe and just restart stuff on another world?
Kevin Feige has done a lot of work to foster this one universe.
True.
And he has spent so much time. He spent, three whole phases just to have one universe. So the fact that they are whole jumping into the multiverse is kind of... I don't know if they actually want to kind of just let it just be a free-for-all.
But at one point, it's got to flip the script where actors are getting too old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And things like that where you want to continue the universe, but you've got to find a good back door to use to start switching up actors.
Sometimes you got to get a back door to switch it up. You know?
You do.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what the Doctor Strange episode was alluding to. It's like certain universes will end, but it doesn't mean that the character that we're going to use from that universe will end.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what Ultimates did into the main line.
Right.
They took the characters that they liked out of the Ultimates universe and transplanted them into 616.
And
there's a convoluted win.
Anytime you have a multiverse mashup in the comics, and DC's done the same shit. It's not just Marvel.
Oh yeah.
There is going to be some convoluted nature to it, but it is kind of a means to an end because you've got characters that have been around since in Marvel the 1960s. That you have to figure out how to make them relevant for today, and you kind of have to do a reboot every so often. So it's kind of important that they have these little events from time to time that retcons these characters, changes them in one way or another.
Well, is that, going off what you said, Jack, is that how they're going to take in Secret Wars? Is that how they're going to take in everybody from different universes when they actually have the huge, phase six, whatever, huge battle and take characters from other universes and the Beyonder battle.
Well, and then you start also getting into the other series that are supposed to be, they just started production on Secret Invasion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that involves a whole slew of back and forth current characters and the way they used to be and things like that. So,
well, we got a lot to talk about, obviously, on this episode. And we have the right crowd for it because, I mean, there's such a depth to this. There's no way we're going to be able to cover everything we want to talk about on this episode, but we're going to do our best in this next hour to talk about What If, primarily, but also the effects of the multiverse on the MCU and related properties on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Marvel's What If. Welcome.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
Zombies at work and shall be again.
like any kind of like anthology series, there were stronger and weaker episodes of What If. Yeah. But there wasn't any episode that I thought was like worthless. There was one in particular that I was like, I don't really care too much. But I think for the most part, they all did their due.
They all had a purpose.
Yeah. And two of them, the purpose was that Hank Pym is a piece of shit.
Well, like, if you read the comics, he is.
I think they established that in Ant-Man.
Not as well.
Not as heavy, if you will.
They took out the like abusive husband part of it.
Yes.
Right. Okay, that was a comic misprint that they turned into a whole arc in the Ultimates.
But same with Tony Stark, his alcoholism was like playful alcoholism and not actually like
until they did the demon in a bottle, it was supposed to be, you know, like the playboy from the 1950s and 60s who is a hard drinker.
Yeah.
But once you get into the 70s and 80s, you can't be that kind of drinker anymore.
Unless it's cocaine, and then it's fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, as long as you're white.
Yeah.
Yeah. True, oh, yeah, true.
True. True.
But yeah, we holy shit.
Hold on.
Already off.
My bad.
Cool.
Sorry.
This is going to be a very interesting episode. I'm like in a good way, I think. I'm excited to kind of dig into the multiverse that we are dealing with the animated series, but also how it relates to stories that we are going to see and not see in the MCU. Right. And the cavalcade of characters to help on this voyage of this episode here to my left, the Dungeon Master Supreme. And you can take that any way you want.
Yeah.
We've got Jack here.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, I'm Jack. Happy to have you on. I like when you're on because you will happily play devil's advocate half the time on stuff when there's a overall agreement on something. You're like, but there's this thing.
Twist it. Just twist the nipple. Just a little bit.
Flick it. Just flick it.
Yeah.
Speaking of flicking the nipple, next one up.
Yeah.
Thanks for that intro.
Yeah.
Perfect. Spot perfect.
Forget that one.
The one that gets you primed and does all the foreplay on Geeks on the Influence every week with the GY Precap. The one that does all the heavy lifting before we just come in with this nonsense. From GY Precap, we've got the Bruce here.
Hello.
See how I worked that? Like, I made it work. Yes. I made
absolutely.
It work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Work it real good.
Yeah.
Work it over.
Think of the gentleman that worked it real good at least twice in his life. Father of two and the Geek Father Supreme.
At least you're hoping twice.
Yeah. No, but have you seen my children?
No.
I couldn't deny them if I wanted to.
They're bald?
They both have beards.
He's got he's got two the Watchers as children.
Oh, wow.
Which actually, if you're what episode was that we made that original joke on?
Oh my God, years ago. It was like so many years
It was
ago.
Like the Logan movie episode or something. And now officially my son is in a TV series as the Watcher.
He's got a glorious cloak.
Duh.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful thing is that for the rest of time, if you ever worry about a costume for your kids, just give them a cloak and they're the
shave
Watcher.
Their head. Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. They're good to go.
It's done.
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 We're talking about Scotty Pease here.
Hey guys, what's up?
The Geek Father of Geek Fathers on the network.
Yes, which unfortunately I wasn't able to do the episode this week, but I was literally knee deep in shit at one point. So,
like plumbing issues.
Yes,
and not your plumbing. No.
And nobody's plumbing here.
Yeah,
but technically, it was gross. Let's just say it was gross.
I have shit in your bathroom before, but
I'm hoping that's washed away by now. It's been a while.
Wow, that would be...
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
That was the reason.
Ugh. And talking about the person just shitting on everything.
Yeah.
Who, what if he didn't shit with GY and bring us all this? Mike, Hobbit Bickett.
What if I didn't start GY? That's a really sad, like...
Oh.
I'd still be writing like wistful poetry trying to turn it into song. Like it'd be really bad.
Wow.
I don't think anybody needs
you'd be doing a lot more of the open mic stand up.
Oh no. Yeah. No one needs that. There's already enough bad stand ups. Like half of them are guests on the show regularly.
But a better intro, Mike the Hobbit Bickett, leader of GUI.
Well, the one of the two, our fearless co-leader, Lowdown Brown, was not able to make this episode because From That Miles of Madness is doing a ton of shit during the Halloween season. So as far as scheduling goes, it gets a little bit more complicated. So you'll find him on the next episode, which will be, I believe, Dario Argento is what we're touching on.
Makes
on the next
sense
episode.
For October.
So, yes.
Beautiful.
So for now, Scotty P is my co-host.
Trying. And I'm definitely not as smooth.
Check
but.
Out Geek Fathers and GY, GYNI. It's all the other stuff, GY Precap, on GYpodcast.com. Rate, review, subscribe, all that cool shit that you normally do for shows. And let's get into it. So they hit the ground running, in my opinion, with picking a really choice episode for the first episode. Yep. I think by starting off with the Captain Carter storyline, I thought that was a really fun play at, you know, the first Avenger, you know, the Captain America mythos, and that he wasn't the only one that was the right pick to be the person with the superhero serum.
Right.
Rogers was the first pick, but he was not the only pick.
Right.
There was a second pick right beside
him. It's like that Harry Potter vibe that if Harry didn't do it, there was that other fucking kid that was going to be the Neville that was going to be the chosen
one.
You
would know. Mm-hmm.
I had three kids who mainlined that book, all the books. I had a wife who did it too. I mean, just like, yep, I got stuck with this.
Yeah,
yep.
So the Neville, well, I don't even want to compare Captain Carter to Neville, because Captain Carter in some ways was like better.
Neville
at her
was
job
the one
than,
who chopped the snake in two.
Yeah.
I think that's an actually very apt description of what Captain Carter did.
Yeah.
Yes. it does go hand in hand, really, if you think about it now.
Well, Captain Carter both had the military experience and the combat experience that when you compare that with the, you know, the superhero serum, there wasn't a lot of having to catch up with her. She was kind of already on board. Yeah, she had the knowledge to be just a badass out the gate.
And I don't even want to say more confidence, because Steve Rogers had plenty of confidence, but she had way less doubt.
Yeah.
Which is one theory why they said, like, why originally he couldn't pick up Mjolnir in the...
Mjolnir? Yeah.
Mjolnir, yeah.
Oh, the hammer.
The hammer, yeah.
But that's why they say he couldn't pick it up in the one movie, but because when things were down and out, he became worthy to try to, you know, argue with that all day. But
yeah.
I mean, but Peggy Carter has way more of a, I could fucking do it. Steve Rogers is like, I should be able to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. I mean... I don't think that's necessarily fair to say about Steve. He was the guy who, like, I can do this all day, no serum in him at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, he was confident.
Had, yeah.
Well, that's what I meant by he had plenty of confidence, but there was still
doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, he was still that kid from Brooklyn who did get beat up. He could take the beating all day, but he still expected to get beat.
Right.
And that's why, even though there was a little bit of a throwing out the, like, no, it's true love, because even when he's a scrawny, now 90-pound guy, that Agent Carter was still like, I still want to fuck you. they still had to do that. But I think it worked because of that level of confidence that he's always been the same dude, no matter what body you put him in.
Yeah,
right.
He's always been that, like, confident and has, like, a strong moral code that is, like, tolerant and respectful and understanding, and that's what Agent Carter fell in love with. And I mean, it helped when he had, you know, probably a much bigger dick and muscles, but even 90-pound weakling, she's still like, I mean, cool, can you fuck in the suit, can you fuck in the
stomper,
the hydro stomper?
Well,
the thing is, the serum, just, you know, going back to the original Avenger, The serum just made you a better version of who you already were.
Yeah,
right.
And Peggy Carter was an amazing individual before the serum. She just became that much more of an amazing individual. Just a powerful one as well.
And I think it's still also a very distinctive character from what we got with Agent Carter, because she still had her issues in her time and place. Even leading and founding S.H.I.E.L.D. as an organization, she still had problems with, like, being able to, like, make herself seen in the room.
Yep.
But you get Captain Carter, all of that fell away.
Yep.
She was a very different character.
Well, even then, she had problems, you know, people taking her seriously, even being Captain Carter, and then she just went, all right, piss off. I'm going to go do this.
Well, exactly. That's right. Why I found it interesting that the next episode that they followed up with, where you have, like, a person taking over the moniker of Captain America and it being, you know, Captain Britain or Captain Carter or whatever you wanted to call the character.
Well, that's why you couldn't call it Captain Britain.
Yeah.
Because
that
Captain
is
Britain.
Already. Yep. But then you follow up with where, what if T'Challa was Star-Lord? And the even bigger fuck you to that, and honestly, I kind of enjoyed it because I'm kind of waning thin on Chris Pratt a little bit in recent In real life,
yeah.
That you've got T'Challa that shows up, and like all the things that like were wrong in the universe that we've come to know in the MCU have been fucking fixed by T'Challa just being
more being a good guy,
more diplomatic, and being like more like kind and thoughtful approach to the
situation. I think that's a situation where T'Challa was just given a bigger stage to work with.
Sure.
Because then he gets to use all these skills in diplomacy and natural charisma that he had always, and he gets a bigger audience to do it. But I think that does lead to a very important question. Of the characters that we do see, which ones are worthy of Mjolnir from OG Thor? Like, we get that moment in, like, Avengers Endgame where, like, Steve can pick up the hammer and he has the power of Thor. I think we can very much say that Captain Carter would have been just as worthy, and we didn't get that moment in our ultimate
version of
this. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not with our Guardians of the Multiverse, but like, I think we can safely say Star-Lord T'Challa was very worthy.
Well, and there was a possibility because when the Collector pulled out all of his weaponry, you saw Mjolnir was one of the weapons that he had collected over the years, and I was waiting for that moment that T'Challa Star-Lord was able to pull out the... And talk about, like, the trifecta of fucking rad. You're Star-Lord, you're Black Panther, and also you got Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Fucking done. Yeah. Fuck you. Whatever fucking
whatever
thing
else you got. Yeah. You're toast.
It was incredible. Truth. But I did like that even... it reminded me so much of, like, I've dealt with it, and I have a lot of friends that have dealt with it, where it's like the old racist uncle, where the... all the venom has been taken out of their racism. And so like the family just like, yes, grandpa or uncle. That was the genocidal Thanos in this version of it. Where he's just like, I mean, I think it was a good idea killing half the universe. And like, all right, Thanos. Like, just nobody took it seriously. And it was shutting him down. But he was all like, yeah, I know everything's great now. And I didn't have to murder half the universe.
But it was still would have been efficient.
I mean, it just went out like that, you know?
Yeah.
Access to resources was the fix to it, which is a major conversation in modern worldly issues as far as people that have too much of a thing and people that don't have enough, and you get the resources to the people that need it and everyone's going to be fed. It was such a nice little light touch on a very serious problem that we deal with.
I think that was something that was actually very, I thought that they were trying to tap into with each of these episodes that were focused on one particular hero was still hitting the major like theme or note that was going on in their original movie.
Sure.
Like,
oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And T'Challa, Black Panther, the film is very much talking about a very real world issue about like borders and insularity and race relations and legacies of like systemic oppression and stuff. So having the Black Panther Star-Lord T'Challa episode being about like resources and equity and access and like that sort of thing, I think it's still hit a very heavy hitting theme, and they're still being very true to what Black Panther the movie was doing by hitting that heavy handed theme.
Agreed.
Now, was that the same episode that Killmonger ended up becoming the Black Panther?
No, that was later where Killmonger saved Tony.
Right.
Now, the question is that part of the same universe is when T'Challa goes to space?
Because he kills T'Challa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Each episode is supposed to be a separate universe.
Well, until it isn't.
Well,
until it is.
Until
that was actually a surprise to me. I thought they was going to be little vignettes that were separate and had their own thing, which would be fun. And that's what the What If comics were. There was
definitely one-shots and
a tie-in to all the different things being part of a bigger story. But I thought that how they did that was actually very deftly done.
Yeah,
where you got introduced to these different versions, and then you've got the Watcher being like assembling the Guardians of the Multiverse,
which is just brilliant.
Yeah,
that was such a beautiful touch.
The moment that the Watcher is narrating what's happening, and fucking James Spader is like, James Spader, but Ultron. Infinity Ultron.
Yeah,
is like, who's talking? And Watcher's like, oh shit.
Right.
It reminded me of like, what is it, Belushi in Animal House outside of the window looking at tits, where he's like, oh, fuck. he got caught.
Right. It wasn't like with Doctor Strange, because like he knew that Doctor Strange would be able to pick up on him, but being as powerful as Ultron, and he's just like, whoa, I'm supposed to be fully hidden here. Hold up.
Yeah.
Hold up.
You're not supposed to be able to see me or hear.
Yeah.
I don't exist.
You're not magical technically. So yeah, you shouldn't be having any knowledge of me here.
I thought there was also an interesting conversation about what does the Watcher do right out the gate, is that there's evil Doctor Strange from a previous episode where he's like, it reminded me of like America giving weaponry to the Taliban in the 1980s, where it's like, yo, you aren't great. You're not a good dude. Clearly you've murdered so many people.
There was
like, you've destroyed an entire
best worst
universe,
option.
But you're the best worst option. Yeah.
I think the only part about that episode I didn't quite like was that, yeah, I understood why it had to end in such a bleak manner, so that you could take this character and transplant him into the end and tied it together. But I thought it was a very obvious moment to tie it into why Doctor Strange, the movie, went the way that it was. It's like, what if Strange lost his heart instead of his hands? They could have tied that in just right at the end and said that the way he finally fixed the problem was to fuck himself up instead of trying to save her.
Yeah,
right.
Like, and that's why we got the OG, like, what the Doctor Strange that we see in the MCU was because he changed the universe so where Doctor Strange lost his hands instead of Christine.
Yeah.
And that's how he saved her. But, you know, like, that's me.
But I'm still glad that they actually did take the whole, it's going to be a bleak episode. Not everything ends well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, and the bleak episodes are part of what made the whole series work.
You still had to go with the whole, not everything's going to cheer out rosy. Not everything's going to be turned out cheerful.
I do appreciate how they did get dark, and especially like going into the next episode of what if the world lost its mightiest heroes.
Yeah. Right.
Where basically the original people you know as the Avengers are just like, nope. Capped.
And then, you know, Hank Pym is the biggest asshole of the fucking
lot. Yeah. Yes.
Which very I get. So. I
which is only closely followed up by Fury.
Fury. Well, this I was wondering if you're going Fury or Loki, depending
on... No, Loki is Loki.
Yeah.
Loki,
sure. But this was, you know, Fury's long week. You know, this was just taking off on that. And it was... I don't know. I kind of wish they would gone a little more at the end of it, just bringing the new Avengers, you know,
new version of Avengers he was going to form.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they needed to leave it to where it was, because that's where it loops back at the end of the series.
Sort of.
No, it's the same. That's the universe.
But there's no Cap and, you know, who else would they would have picked to be the Avengers, you know, in that universe? It's a here nor there. It's kind of like, okay, it's an addendum.
Well, you gotta admit too, the Avengers probably have the biggest rotating roster out of any super team in just about any comic book series.
Yeah,
there is.
So
you
could pick. Yeah.
I mean, you could pick just about every character. Be like, no, he was an Avenger at this time, so he'd be good fill-in for now.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Depending on what story we're telling. You know.
Well, I would say it's a kind of a tie with Guardians of the Galaxy, because if you look at the roster of Guardians over the years, I mean, even the Venom with...
Agent Venom.
Agent Venom is part of the Guardians at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, true.
As well as so many others. And that's why I'm interested that Star-Lord got done so shitty by the T'Challa episode. and then new information about Guardians of the Galaxy 3 where the main characters have read the script and they all bawled afterwards. I'm like, how much of is there a chance that they introduced Nova and Adam Warlock, which they've already cast?
They've already cast.
Yes.
Yep. He's going to be in there.
But Nova, it would be the surprise one, and then that's the end of Star-Lord.
Maybe? I don't know.
It's a possibility.
It is.
It's possible. It's Kevin Feige. Anything is possible. Everybody is going to die, or could die, or could retire, or whatever.
It's not even down to that. It's also down to how many people still had contracts.
Well, but, you know, Kevin Feige didn't always, you know, they're not allowed to do the whole 10 movie pitcher contracts anymore, but they'll do two or three.
Yeah.
Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Which the long running main Avenger that has run through all the movies and is still sticking around is Thor.
Right.
Yeah.
At this point. And I love what they did with Party Thor.
Yeah,
that was so much fun.
Party Thor was.
You could just see Chris Hemsworth in the recording booth, just having a blast with that one.
Right.
Well, you could tell the scriptwriters and the animators were like, okay, this is really fun. This is fucking turn all of Vegas into an even bigger party than it normally is.
Oh God.
Oh, that was having Loki just roll up as a frost giant, being like, "We're totally cool now."
You mean the thirst trap?
Yes.
I like that Loki, all of his like his venomous like trickster tendencies are gone because he was raised by like a parent that like
a loving parent
right. that didn't have
indulgent
like,
parent.
Indulgent parent.
He's a frat bro in that one. You know, he was raised by a parent that just gave him whatever he wanted.
But you know, well, better frat bro than the guy that's trying to bring an end to fucking the universe at every fucking turn.
Yeah,
or rule it.
Yeah. Well, and to be honest, this was the party episode because even Thor's mother, when Odin went into his Odin sleep, she was like, "Peace out, I'm going to a party." You know,
yeah.
She's like,
"No, that's where Thor got his attitude."
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Oh totally. And he's just like, "No, I'm not gonna. I'm totally gonna read a book."
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Endgame, she's like, I was raised by witches, boy. You don't think that his mom wasn't dancing naked and drinking fucking grog under the fucking moonlight for most of her youth?
She probably still was. Probably
no, she was absolutely getting wine drunk at that party before
she
got called.
It was a celebration of the solstice, so she was wasted.
She was so wasted.
She was knuckle deep in other witches at that point.
That's the episode I want to see. That's the dark episode. That's the one we actually
missed. The name of the episode is Knuckle Deep in Witches.
What if Frigga fingered?
Yeah.
You know.
What if Frigga finger blasted?
Frigga got fingered.
Oh, there it is.
Drop the mic.
That might be the name of the episode. God damn it.
It's a good one. I like that one.
They don't happen often, but I have my moments.
But I love even the like fucking wink at the end of that episode where he pulls Mjolnir back and it's covered in like fucking panties and graffiti. Like people literally like, "Oh, it's Thor's hammer. Let's write boobs on it." You know?
You know they've never actually been
to Vegas if you don't think that is exactly what would happen.
And they didn't show up, but there was a big old penis drawn on the top of that hammer. They just didn't show it for the kids.
Yeah.
It was on the other side.
Yeah, totally.
Hammer is
my penis. Thank you, Captain Hammer.
And also that is the first universe that talk about like an easy get for Infinity Ultron is that's the first universe that Ultron shows up in, right?
Oh yeah.
And
oh yes.
He's like, "Cool. This is a party planet. Everybody's just like really cool with hanging out with frat bro Thor and just partying down and
it's like
cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's mine.
Genocide now.
Mine.
I destroy you all."
That's one of those. That's not going to be the first one. That's going to be like the hangover one where you're like, "I busted my ass on this one. Let's just get this one real quick.
Get this one out of the way.
Easy one.
The third episode, we already talked a little bit about the Doctor Strange episode, but like the third one I felt was like one of the weaker episodes. Because it was that Hank Pym ended up being like the villain at the end, that he was just taking out the Avengers, and it was an interesting concept, but I felt like it lacked any kind of like excitement.
Yeah, the Avengers were just all taken out like instantly.
Yeah, when we were mentioning that before, it was basically that's the episode to justify Hank Pym being the biggest dick ever. So,
but I think Fury can still also be blamed for that one because it's. No, it's very much illustrated by the way he responds to Hank's very reasonable amount of grief about the death of his daughter and knowing that Fury manipulated her feelings and about her relationship to her mother to get her into S.H.I.E.L.D. in the first place.
So basically Nick Fury was being a lot more like Amanda Waller.
Nick Fury was being Nick Fury.
Yeah.
True, but you don't see him being that manipulative. He's manipulative. I mean, even in the original Avengers, he was manipulative. Those cards were in his locker.
You weren't watching the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. then.
Oh, no.
Because he was a big dick in that, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was. Oh, yeah, I remember. But I still didn't see him going to Amanda Waller level.
I mean, he definitely has a flimsy idea of morality for the most part.
Yes. True.
Yeah, I'll go with that. But still, I still wanted to believe that was... There's certain lines that he didn't not want to cross, but just not want to tap dance over.
I think the thought process behind that story was that, you know, Wasp was one of the original Avengers, Ant-Man and Wasp, early on. And so it's the explanation of like, well, if S.H.I.E.L.D. knows that there was like an Ant-Man and possibly a Wasp tie-in character at some point because, you know, her mom at one point was Wasp.
Yeah.
Why didn't they go after them at some point when forming the Avengers? And the answer to that is kind of more thoroughly explained in this episode, is that because Hank Pym's a dick. it's gonna be more problem than it's actually worth at that point.
I think the implication is this is the universe where he did absolutely approach Hope.
Yep.
And she said yes in that universe instead of turning him down like she did in the main MCU.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think there's value to that episode, but it's definitely not some of my strongest likes on the series.
Well, I think what it does is, besides showing what an asshole Hank is that it just shows that heroes are not just going to be able to pop up from every universe when shit's going down. It's, you have a whole universe that's destroyed. You have heroes over here, heroes over here. This one probably doesn't have all the heroes, but it still has people living, so shit could happen. But it just won't be somebody there to save the day either. You've got to have the variety. I mean, because obviously with going into multiverse with the MCU and everything, you've got to be able to touch on all this stuff there too.
I mean, I think it was touched on in the Loki series where there was the moment where the organization said, no, the time travel and the weird loop and the alternate universe shit that the Avengers pulled off in the MCU was supposed to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was the one where the most people live and come back and survive, whereas these other universes are ones where they don't get that amount of leeway to intervene.
Right. Fair.
And there's my confusion a little bit, even with the T'Challa Star-Lord episode, which I'd say the turnout is a lot better than a lot of the other universes. You end up with Peter's dad taking over the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was stopped. Ego?
No, he was stopped later in...
Yeah, in the epilogue, you see that he gets stopped.
Yeah, but you look at the universe and it's like, oh yeah, don't got to deal with Thanos. Like Thanos is fucking cool. And I thought about that at length with Doctor Strange's like one universe, and he's talking about at that point in their idea of time that it would have had to take T'Challa being Star-Lord as a kid to get to a point where that was one of the options, is like taking Peter Quill out.
Yeah.
But also, that always bugged me with Endgame, is like, there's one way that we do this, just shoot Peter Quill in the face, and they would have been able to stop Thanos like early on.
Well, you never know. It may not have, because, again, there were 14 million options or whatever that he looked through. It's like, that may have happened. That may have helped to a certain point. But then
something else
could have happened.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know,
like, they
still got the gauntlet back or whatever.
Right. Yeah, they managed to pull it off of him, and, you know, they think they've got him locked up or whatever, and he still gets out, gets the stones back, and still destroys.
Sure. I think there's just enough fans out there with the wishful thinking that it was 14 million times that Peter Quill just fucked up.
The fact that if he wasn't Star-Lord, he was literally a fucking, like, fry cook.
Yeah.
Right.
She had the Dairy Queen.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I think a lot of Marvel fans end up having that, go back in time and kill Hitler issue. They think that's what would stop World War II, as if it wasn't like literally 200 years of buildup of stuff that led to that moment.
Yeah.
World War II was just like the leftovers that didn't get figured out from World War I.
Exactly.
That just carried over into...
It's like,
I mean, a lot more stuff besides that.
We didn't get
all
the hate out.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you can blame Hitler for very specific things, but it wouldn't have stopped World War II to take him out like 30 years prior.
It would have definitely changed the look of World War II.
Right.
But it
still would have happened.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
So I think that's a good place for us to take our mid-episode break. So listen to some of the other shows you can check out on our network. And we'll be back with some drunken scenes, some what we're drinking, some hemming and hawing about all the fun that is What If. So stick around.
What if we do a drunken scene?
Yeah, right? We'll be right back.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things What If, the animated series on Disney Plus, talking about the multiverse of Marvel and all the weird shit that we're not going to see in live action, maybe.
Probably not, but
we'll see.
There might be nuggets in
there somewhere.
There might
be some nuggets here and there for sure.
We're going to get Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
Yeah, but you think that...
You never know what's going to be in there.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm just like, you're going to see maybe not these what if characters, but you're going to see what if characters.
I think for sure.
In Multiverse of Madness, there's a chance of a blip of them being in a universe with Marvel zombies. And you can just you see a little segment of it and be like, nope.
This is fucking deuces, I'm out.
Yeah, peace. I'm done with this. And then it's just Bruce Campbell with a chainsaw arm killing the zombies, and he's just like, hey, and that's his cameo for that episode or that movie.
Well, and that's how we get into the Spider-Man crossover universes, because Bruce Campbell was all three of those too.
Yep, exactly.
How it's gonna be.
But before we get into our future theories on this stuff, let's get into our sponsors, the ones that make this work. First up, of course, is Amazon.com. It's getting into the holidays, and as has been announced on all the news stations, if you are going to get your stuff in time for the holidays, you should start shopping now, because everything's always so backed up already with shipping. When the holidays hit, it's going to be that much worse for employees, delivery, all that. So you should probably start looking now for all the little things you're going to get for your family. And the best way to do that is go to GUIpodcast.com and click on the Amazon link. That way, anything you purchase, we get credit for. So that way you're giving less money to Amazon. You're still giving a decent amount, but some of that money is actually going to us instead, so you can feel a little bit better about your purchases.
Which I know
Amazon.
I prefer.
I prefer that. It makes me feel a little bit better about it. And also, you're supporting your favorite podcast at the same time. So all the Marvel products that you're sending your family, even though they're like, I'm an 82-year-old grandmother, I don't care about Marvel. You're like, Grandma, you're going to wear that fucking Spider-Man shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if you're gonna shop Amazon, just make sure you do it through the link at gypodcast.com. Helps us out. Helps out the world a little bit more by giving Jeff Bezos slightly less
just
money.
Just a little less.
A little less money.
He has to wait another 3 seconds to buy his next spaceship.
3 seconds, like 0.6 seconds, I think.
His cock ship.
The best way to support Geeks Under the Influence, because we are actually actively looking for a different sponsor than Amazon, but for the time being, that is one of our affiliates. But the best way to support us is through TeePublic, the website that helps independent creators like us. We come up with the designs, we make them available, they make them into products that you get to buy. So we've got over 40 designs now.
Well, and right now there's limited time on the special Halloween designs.
Yes,
limited time.
We unfortunately did get hit with a cease and desist on our Elm Street Ale t-shirt. So that is no longer available. Apparently, I did such a good job on the design of Freddy Krueger that it actually
after like three years, they were finally like,
"Oh, bro, you can't do that."
I was like, New Line.
There are 40 shirts of this out in the world. Like, you should have been a little quicker on this.
Right.
We were coming up with a couple other ideas. And also, TeePublic is really good about specific IP being allowed to be created by the creators on the site. So Dune is one of those.
Yes.
So I just got a package of all sorts of like script and stuff that I can use in the t-shirt design. So we'll be coming up with a Dune shirt for the release of that movie. And plenty of other designs, tons of spooky designs for the Halloween season available at gypodcast.com/store. Click the TeePublic link. It'll send you right to our site. Or just click on the TeePublic link on our homepage if you want to find it.
I was about
to
say, that's a big old picture that just says TeePublic.
Yeah, it's a big old TeePublic
picture.
You'll
see it.
You're not going to miss it.
True.
And that's the best way to support us. We get a decent amount of money from those purchases. And also, it's our stuff. So you're not only getting merchandise for GUI, but you're also like showing your support in the corners of the world where you live, and people asking, what is this fucking weird shirt you're wearing? There's a manatee with a Rambo bandana. And it's like, oh, that's deeply upsetting. Or there's there's the skeleton shrugging, wearing like a, basically modeled after Scotty P with the flipped up brim hat that says spooky on it.
He's skinnier than me, but that's okay.
I drew him like one of my French girls. And turned out to look like you. A bonehead.
You just like my bone.
I do. Yep. So there's plenty of stupid and amazing designs available on our TeePublic store. Take a look. I guarantee you there will be at least one design that you're like, all right, fuck, I wasn't going to buy anything, but...
Well, and that's another one where order now.
Yep.
Because this is definitely more of an independent company as well, so shipping... All that, you got to get the right time for the holidays. So.
I've found, for the most part, they're pretty good between 10 and 14 days on delivery, and you can get expedited shipping if you really need it. But
with holidays approaching.
With holidays and stuff, yeah, definitely sooner is better than later. And there's sales all the time. All the
absolutely.
Fucking time. So.
Absolutely.
And that's it for our sponsors. Next up, the segment that really talks about why we are the show that we are, and it's about what we're drinking.
Hey! We're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
Oh, God.
Is that a harpsichord?
It's something.
It sounds like a harpsichord.
It's spooky Kyle Smash.
It is.
And of course, one time I'm waiting for Bo, and you don't have it on that version. Damn it.
No, not on the spooky version.
Phantom of the Studio.
Even though this isn't technically a Halloween episode, it is Halloween season, so we are still going to be using the spooky piano version of what we're drinking.
Phantom of the podcast.
Yes.
There you go. Yes. There it is.
We've got to suss this out, but Bruce... Yeah.
Yes.
Bruce, our non-drinker, was the one that brought the share for us.
I brought this, yes, because I go to Dragon Con every year, and this year they actually have something called the Dragon Nectar. I don't know a whole lot about it because I don't drink. So you're going to have to try this out for me, and I have absolutely nothing to do with it. I don't get any money from it.
Have no idea how excited I am about this, because while I was in Gen Con in Indianapolis this past month,
mm-hmm. ooh,
this was the seasonal special at the place that we go to for dinner after every Gen Con,
mm-hmm.
and they had ran out by the time we got there.
Oh,
so damn. I didn't get to sample this. So yeah. I am so glad brought this.
I got the one can. The one can. It's kind of expensive, but yeah, it's okay.
It's made by Monk's Meadery. It looks like it's a 6% ABV.
Only so six. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not a dick kicker, but it's definitely give you a little.
Check your oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, session mead made with passion fruit, hibiscus, and dragon fruit. Well, duh, dragon fruit. Yeah. Hello.
So
hold on, let me...
Try that out.
It tastes a little energy drinky.
That is very sugary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't dislike it, the hibiscus and the dragon fruit definitely punch pretty
it's
hard.
It's more like a cider.
Yeah, closer to, I would say.
Yeah, at least it's a dry one. It's a little bit dry, mm-hmm. which I like for the type of taste that it's given me.
Yeah. It's doable for sure.
They play together very well.
Yeah.
I'm just jealous because you were in Indianapolis. That's my OG hometown. So, you know, especially for Gen Con. So
it's been a blast. I've been going every year that I've been able since 2013.
Nice.
So, yeah. Okay. I've been making that my regular rounds.
And speaking of, like, you did Dragon Con,
yes,
Bruce.
Yeah. Yes.
With all of the probably, I'm assuming, significant changes because of COVID.
Yeah.
Did it still feel relatively, like, safe and they were being mindful about that?
They were being very mindful about that. They had, they cut the attendance by half. So there was only about 40,000 people there.
Only 40,000
right. people. Hey, trust me, it's...
Oh, yeah.
From the
it's a noticeable difference.
It's a huge difference because Dragon Con is... 5 host hotels, probably 12 to 13 additional hotels. They have 2 service areas called the AmeriMart 1 and AmeriMart 2 that they use. The vending hall is 3 stories tall. Yeah, it's a huge thing, and only having 40,000 people there, you actually can feel the difference. But
damn,
everybody had to be masked at all times. If you were in public spaces, good. If you were anywhere outside of your room, you had to be masked. They only allowed people who were who had badges into the hotels or into any area, as you should. But they also had clothes for cleaning. They deep cleaned every room at least twice a day. They did it once in the middle of the day by between 4 to 5 o'clock and like 5 to 6 o'clock, depending on the room.
Right.
And then overnight, they deep cleaned every space.
Hell yeah.
I'm just thinking about the number of times that, like, anytime I go to a hotel, I put the, like, do not service thing on the door. Because, and if I'm on a very long trek of being in a hotel room for a con or some kind of thing, by the end of it, we're like, fuck, we've got 20 minutes before we got checkout time that we have 5 days of just disgusting bullshit to deal with.
That's when you make sure. And the great thing is the hotel that we stayed at, the Marriott Marquis, which if you were watching Loki, that's the TVA.
Yeah.
Which
is such a nugget for nerds that go to DragonCon and be like,
they absolutely did that.
Well, they shoot everything in Atlanta, so they have to use those hotels. There's been many times
with recent laws happening in Atlanta. There's a lot of call for pulling out of Atlanta.
But as a matter of fact, with the Loki episode, the episode where they go to the Ren Fair, they say it's someplace. It's actually the Georgia Ren Fair, and the one guy who looked like the tusks and the huge green, he popped up on screen, and I literally screamed, "I know that fucker!" He's actually done kilt blowing, which I ran. And he's there every year. He's part of the con.
We've discussed in past episodes. So yeah, it's been a while since you've been on that. Bruce, you're an avid kilt wearer.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah.
There are more people who have seen me in kilts or naked versus being in pants.
I will say when we have the table and the couch, in the old spot.
Yeah.
I really appreciated the fact that you had a very solid understanding of how to cross your legs.
Oh yes,
and how to keep everything.
I've been wearing kilts for like 10 years now. So I know how to wear kilts.
You were
sit down properly.
You sat down properly. You were very mindful because literally your dick and balls were like in direct line of sight of me during that episode.
I'm very respectful.
And there was not a basic instinct moment.
You're very respectful until you're not.
Exactly. And then I don't have to be anymore. Then I could just be the schmuck that I usually am.
Speaking of schmucks we usually are, let's get on to the second half of this this episode here. Moving into the later portion, I want to dig into Marvel Zombies a little bit more now that we're into the second half.
Yeah.
I really liked that it focused a little bit on Vision and Wanda's relationship and how Vision's loose understanding of morality played into their relationship even harder than it does in WandaVision in this version.
And this episode had one of the most heart-wrenching scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Of where Vision pulls out the Mind Stone because he's like, ooh, I kind of fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he's like, well, here's my last chance. And he just rips it out. And I'm just like, what?
But it does bring that conversation about left to your own devices without some other insight from an outside source where you can rationalize anything. Vision has rationalized feeding people to Wanda.
Yeah.
And like, the dehumanizing the circumstances because it's surrounded by like undead people and it only took living people to be around him for him to go,
I screwed up
because he does in very real terms have a loose understanding of humanity. And so, but he's open to understanding it better, but it does take outside resources for him to get that insight.
The way they timed this episode, it may have been before, you know, a lot of the other things that had happened where he didn't get to spend all that time with with Wanda, you know, where they had all that special time together and he got to understand, you know, what it's
the
like.
The relationship had just started.
Right. But he was still already infatuated with her. And I think that time's like, oh, well, I guess I'm in love with you now because I'm going to feed you.
Also in the same vein, the fact that Wanda becoming a zombie just totally unfiltered her powers as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just on the opposite spectrum of just like, she's like, it, being a zombie right now is appropriate because you're just going, you don't give a shit. You're just there
all
to
that self-doubt, all that yeah. stuff disappears.
I think the heart-wrenching part was that this is where we got the Uncle Ben reference.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they yeah. hadn't mentioned that.
That's true. I thought about adding that line to our drunken scene, but it was just so fucking sad. I didn't want to deal with it. Yeah. Where it talks about like how Spider-Man is being so like... so
upbeat.
Right. He's like, I've lost everyone, dude. Like mm-hmm. my parents, my Uncle Ben, like everybody's fucking... before the zombies. And then now after the zombies... fucking
that's
Tony,
true.
Everyone is fucking yeah. gone.
But this is also the episode where I started to really start to dig in back to the original What If comics about what references they were making. Not just like
oh, yeah.
direct ones like Marvel Zombies, but like just nods like Spider-Man in the cloak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's actually a reference to a very specific Spider-Man What If.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
he wears a... No,
oh,
he's not Sorcerer Supreme
no,
in that
he's
one.
Not.
He's like celebrity Spider-Man. He wears a cape as part of his like persona.
Well, and that was the Easter egg in Into the Spider-Verse
as well. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the joke of like, I want a cape. I'm like, no, we're not doing cape. We're not doing a cape.
But that's the thing. It's like there are these like most of the nods to the original comic are like there is the big theme Uatu's there and all that. But like a lot of the nods to the original comics are more visual references than. Like actual storylines.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
Supreme Stephen Strange with his evil cloak and he's, you know, the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of that visual language that goes into what if Doctor Strange was Dormammu's subject. But a lot of the story elements are more like what if Doctor Doom were the Sorcerer Supreme.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah.
Like there's nods on all of the episodes to the original series, the original comics mm-hmm. that I just absolutely adored.
And I would thoroughly suggest so much that if you have the time to go to your local comic shop and see if you can pick up some old What Ifs.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're going to be some of the cheaper ones too. They're
oh,
definitely
for sure.
like in the, in
oh,
the 25 cent.
Yeah.
Bin
they're
and,
the dollar
yeah.
bins.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's compendiums available as well. Give it a look. They're such fun reads.
Yeah.
And you don't have to. That's the challenge a lot of the time, the jump rope of getting into a new run of comics is that if you go into issue 38, there's a bunch of stuff that you don't yeah. know that happened, and you have to find all the back issues to figure out what's going on or
right.
buy the trades. With What Ifs, they're bathroom reading more than
yeah,
any other
one-shots.
Thing. They're one-shots. You
yeah.
can just read a thing, have a great time with it.
Oh, there was a point where the What Ifs were out of print, and they had a sort of substitute series for it. Where they got to explore more of the multiverse for Marvel, but it was in a continuous one big storyline arc, and it was called Exiles, which is very much more X-Men centric, but it was like, it was a bunch of what if stories that you had one continuous cast jumping through.
Them. Yeah, I didn't read a whole lot of them, but
was
that
the weird
that was
pocket
a
universe
for a
thing that they did for a minute? I know there was a weird, like, off kilter pocket universe storyline they did with a lot of. The different characters.
No, this one was specifically. It started off as an X-Men offshoot, but then very quickly spun off into a multiverse offshoot. But it's where you get Nocturne, Nightcrawler's daughter.
Yeah.
In the mainline
yeah.
universe, she comes from Exiles.
Okay.
It's a very good series. Just it's much more convoluted than most Marvel series because it's a multiverse series, but it's
right.
very much inspired by What If. Just that you have a continuous cast that goes through it.
And that's,
but it kind of spoils the whole thing about What If is like they're one shots.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing that I'm actually, you know, I'm waiting for the Marvel exhaustion to take hold at some point. And
mm-hmm.
They did a really good job of summing up that entire Infinity story arc without there being that level of like exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
And with them releasing the series on Disney Plus, where you only get like 2 or 3 weeks after a series ends that there's a movie, and then 2 or 3 weeks after that, a new series starts,
mm-hmm.
where you're only missing Marvel for like a couple weeks versus when they started, it was like twice a year
yeah.
you got Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're and, lucky twice a year at one point.
And I'm waiting for that right. exhaustion to cut in, but here's the thing, is that they are prepping the MCU to incorporate both Fantastic Four and
X-Men.
Yep. And X-Men yes. alone.
And the Spider-Verse.
And the Spider-Verse. And,
right.
and X-Men alone oh. is almost like a half of
yeah.
the characters.
Oh, God.
It's so much. that what I think is that there's going to be a level where they're going to get us right to our razor's edge, and then there's going to be this entire new mythos that with the multiverse, maybe they're going to realize that you can't treat everything as one timeline anymore. They have to treat it like the comics, where you might have
a
like
different universe,
the like MCU universe, right. universe. There's the X-Men universe. There's the and multitudes. So if you're a diehard nerd, you can hit them all. But then, like the comics, most likely you're going to pick one or two that are your things.
Especially now that they're talking about bringing back the Defenders stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah, reintroducing yeah, especially, that. Especially because they're talking about even like just restarting that, like from away from the Netflix series, right?
Yeah, that
well, they,
like
they got Charlie Cox back.
Yeah, and right. Kingpin so, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, it's also going to be there's rumors that Charlie Cox is going to be in the next Spider-Man movie playing, you know, playing
the lawyer.
The
yeah.
lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, "Oh, I know who that fucker is." Yeah.
And I think it's incredibly smart. I think the people they cast in those roles did a very deft job of playing this. Well,
most of them.
Most not the not you is Iron Fist. Yeah. Like yeah. You're yeah. great. You're great. Fuck you. You're great.
Yeah.
Iron Fist is dead. There's not even been a whisper of bringing him back.
Yeah. Nobody.
They're like
wants him back.
Luke Cage. Yeah. Jessica Jones. Yeah. Charlie Cox. Fuck yes. We're gonna Iron Fist. Luke Cage is great.
Yeah. The fact that, speaking of the actors who've been, the fact that they got most of the MCU actors to recur, bring back their role.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you got Benedict Cumberbatch to play, you know, him playing Doctor Strange, you know, a lot of them. You also got a couple of noticeable absences, you know, Tom Holland. You had Lake Bell playing a couple of different characters.
Yeah, but Lake Bell is like very choice.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she's great placement.
Well, I was just with that as well, but I was going to also add into the whole Defenders thing with restarting that as part of the MCU or whatever they're going to do. Doctor Strange technically was one of the original Defenders.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that goes hand in hand with the MCU, and as the voice actors, and it hasn't been brought up yet, and I know we'll probably say something definitely at the end. Chadwick Boseman.
Yes. Yeah.
This was the last
let's
MCU.
Let's fucking toast that shit real quick.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
That was last appearance as a vocal role, and he was great. He was fantastic. And
absolutely.
You could almost hear him getting sicker as that went on, because the last episode that he was in, his voice was
shaking.
There's a tonal change.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, he knew how to play soft in tone, mm-hmm. but deliver a lot of like resonance.
Yes.
Right.
And that soft tone didn't change, but the resonance behind it mm-hmm. definitely dipped a little bit.
I don't want to break anybody's hearts, but the original idea when they were putting this whole thing together was going to be 20 episodes for the first season. And they broke that down into, we're going to do two seasons, 10 episodes a piece, and then we're going to, you know, COVID happened and it became 9 episodes.
Right.
But the original intention was that episode 2 was going to be the start of a spinoff of an entire series of just T'Challa Star-Lord.
Yeah, that'd have been
goddamn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to point at the fence here with idea of how the MCU is going to go based on partially what if, is that Star-Lord's not long for this world. Mm-hmm. I genuinely think that in Guardians 3, when you're incorporating Adam Warlock, and it's already been talked about that the Nova Corps is gone. It's been fucking destroyed.
Okay.
You're going to get a character that is Nova. That's like the last of the Nova Corps that joins the Guardians of the Galaxy and has a bone to pick with anybody that's dealing with fucking Infinity Stone shit or people are trying to ruin the world, multiverse or what have you.
Right.
That joins ranks. And with somebody like Nova, who has been the lead in the Guardians of the Galaxy in the comics for a ton of the run.
A lot longer than Star-Lord.
A lot longer than Star-Lord. That is an opportunity for them to kind of like change the ranks on who's in charge of stuff. And especially with Gamora going off into fucking wherever after Endgame.
Well, you don't know if she's still around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there's two ways that it can go, that Star-Lord finds her and they kind of like find a new romance and he's like, I'm done. But more likely, it will end in his doom. And then you end up with Nova kind of taking over the reins of control.
Also with Dave Bautista's going to be leaving, and then you got no more there, and they could actually bring in Kitty Pryde that way.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be a sweet, sweet, sweet.
I don't know
edition.
If they're going to rush Kitty Pryde that quickly
I don't
into
think
it.
So,
probably
but
not.
They could.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to see Corsair come in.
Yeah. True.
You don't need mutants to have Corsair.
That is true.
And you can have the Shi'ar in there. You can have.
No, Shi'ar is going to show up.
They to. Have had
maybe Secret Invasion.
Possibly.
Did they incorporate the Shi'ar?
I mean, we've gotten the Kree. We've gotten the
Skrulls.
The Skrulls. Mm-hmm. Like, we've gotten the Nova Corps. Like, Shi'ar has to show up.
Yeah. Well, and that also brings in Scott Summers' dad.
Corsair.
Corsair.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was thinking of somebody else when you said that originally. Sorry. My bad.
No worries.
But back to the actual What If animated series, because it's a natural progression to talk about like what they're going to do with the multiverse in the live action. But I did want to touch on a little bit the what if Killmonger rescued Tony Stark, because I really genuinely enjoyed that episode so much.
It was good. Very good.
And then it shows just how incredibly intelligent Killmonger was.
Yeah.
And that his plan of attack for his plan in Black Panther was the one that he arrived at, but wasn't the only plan he could have made.
Yeah,
there was multiple ways.
Well, and it was said, I do not want to play chess with you.
Yeah.
Because he's like two moves ahead.
Oh, the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And has a backup move at the least.
Yeah.
And I love that he had no doubt about the power of Wakanda, because even with like cutting off the Wi-Fi basically to the super soldiers or the fucking mech soldiers, they still came back powered on, and he was like, oh, they must have gotten through our defenses, and they still got fucking ruined. And he's like, yep, that his whole plan was that they were going to be destroyed for the most part.
Oh yeah,
well, anything like, manipulative power just to get that power.
Yeah
I mean, it's another demonstration of why I think the Eric character, I was so disappointed that they killed him at the end of Black Panther.
Yeah.
So very disappointed, because he has probably one of the best like establishments as a villain and as a character, because there's a lot of moments where it's like, it's kind of hard to say he's wrong, at least in Black Panther.
Yeah, agreed.
Right.
And I love that as far as like villains go, I think the three that you would say from MCU that has done some level of okay with is Loki, Thanos, and Killmonger.
Yeah.
Are the three.
Mm-hmm.
And with Loki, he's a spoiled fucking brat that's mad that he's not the favorite son.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's only so much that you can identify with him with, but he's charming, so he gets away with a lot more in the movies than he probably should get away with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Thanos, you understand the idea of like why he's going about it. He's going about it the wrong way, but you understand you understand the perspective that he's coming from.
Yeah, the reasoning.
And then there's Killmonger, where the entirety of his arc, you're uncomfortable with how much you agree with his approach to things.
Oh, you absolutely. Might be uncomfortable. Yeah. I'm not.
Well.
Okay, well, that's just you.
No, I'm right up to the point of that he's like borderline talking about genocide.
That's the moment.
That's
that
the
I
moment
depart.
That I'm like, yeah. Ugh.
No, it's like, I'm actually with him 80% of the time.
Yeah, 80%. Yeah. And then there's the point where it's like, and we'll just fucking destroy anybody that gets in our way. That's genocide. That's not okay.
It's a little too far.
Yeah.
Imperialism was the word I would use.
Okay, well, I mean,
which is also pretty fucking bad.
Tomato, tomato. You know?
You understand why he wants to do what he does. And that always makes the best bad guy. The one where you can kind of look and think, I'm the hero of my own story. You understand why, but his methodology is completely screwed.
You're right. Well, no, I was just going to say, because even like going back to more to the actual episode as well, is obviously he didn't know he was in that universe. He was changing a timeline, obviously, by preventing Tony from becoming Iron Man. But the fact that he knew exactly how to play Tony, knowing that he was basically a drunk.
Yep.
How to feed the ego do that stuff was prime. And to call out, like, you forget about how the first Iron Man went, and you're like, oh, yeah, he totally called out Obadiah, because Obadiah was a dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it was a good throwback to the beginning of our MCU.
Sure.
And it's the same way that in this version he also played into all of his weaknesses. But at the end, when he's confronting Tony, and Tony's like, we're so much alike. And he's like, the fact you think we're alike is the problem.
Yeah. Oh my God. Exactly. I love that moment because that's it is that it doesn't need to be explained to him.
Yeah.
And the fact that that Tony does need it explained to him is the point.
Yeah, exactly.
He absolutely doesn't get the difference. Yeah. Oh God. And that's the entirety of the character of Killmonger. You're like, that's the problem. That's the problem is you think we're alike. We're so not fucking alike.
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking love it. I love that episode. And probably one of the more social commentary episodes of the what ifs, which were most part just like fun play in the sandbox. Yeah.
But it makes sense that that's the Killmonger that we get in the finale. The one who's like, I've already been on this road to success and I've just been winning this entire time. Why not go for godhood too?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like as soon as he picked up that Ultron head, you're like, ooh, wait.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold
not good.
On.
That's where I wanted to go on this tail end is that there's the two-parter at the very end that ties everything together.
But before we get to that, let's talk about the lost episode.
Oh, right.
We have to get to that one before we get to the finale.
Sure.
Because
true,
this episode that you did not get to see, this is supposed to be somewhere in the middle.
That's why this scheduling this was actually challenging because depending on the website, it said 9 episodes or 10 episodes.
Yes.
So
there was supposed to be a 10th episode. It was supposed to be somewhere in the middle. It was the episode where in the original Avengers movie where Tony Stark goes into space, goes through the dimensional wormhole, goes into space, and he throws the nuke. In the actual in the What If episode, he goes just a little bit too long into space, tries to fall back through the wormhole, doesn't make it. It closes without him, and he's in space. Apparently, he goes through a different wormhole, ends up in Sakaar, where he becomes one of the champions, and that's where you get you see the What If episode. The What If episode, he's got that new armor on,
right,
and you can take a look at the decorations. He's got that language on his pieces. It looks like it's been cobbled from Jump because he can make it in a cave with scraps.
Yep.
So you've got that armor. Then also Gamora is there. Gamora was supposed to be one of the champions there as well, kind of playing the Hulk role.
Sure.
And then they end up working together and killing Thanos,
which is why she's got his sword.
So that is what is supposed to have happened in that episode, and they got the Infinity Gauntlet. That's why you see it melting in the beginning of that episode of the What If episode when Ultron won.
Sure.
Yeah, which is definitely one that I wish we have got.
They're supposed to break that out for season two. That's supposed to be.
Did they ever say why they never
COVID?
Originally it was going to be 20 episodes, then certain things
happened.
It was
just part of the breakdown.
And they broke it into two, and it was going to be 10 episodes each. And then because of the COVID thing, then they
they just could not complete that
scaled
episode.
Scaled it back down.
Yeah. Gotcha. Fair.
They just couldn't complete the episode.
That's fair enough. And you know what? I would rather have like 9 episodes now than wait like fucking 3 years for like 20 episodes.
I don't think it'd work.
Yeah.
But if we want to talk about like the casting and how brilliant it was that they got so many original voice actors back, I think we need to talk about the standout bad one that they couldn't replace, James Spader.
Was very clearly different.
I mean, much as I love the Ultron that we did get to see, the voice actor was just a huge letdown.
Well, and don't let it trick you, just being Vision, it's still, or Vision's body,
right,
it still should have been James Spader doing the voice.
Exactly.
Sure,
yes.
Absolutely.
Because he had that swarminess when he was playing Ultron, and this voice actor just didn't have it.
No.
He was not there. Just
no,
completely.
He phoned it in, literally, for COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, quite literally, he might have recorded his lines in a closet, because I know a voice actor that had to do that for a massive animation series that literally recorded his lines for the last season.
There's a bunch in a closet.
A
bunch of the known actors for this had to record in their own home.
Yep.
And you know, yeah.
So that is some, I guess, level of excuse for the actor that normally didn't know this character like James Spader would.
Yeah.
He's recording in his closet. He's not getting necessarily the lines.
The feedback.
Well, let's just say if you have James Spader, you got to keep James Spader for a continual character.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's
like, he goes off on his own fucking journey for a character. I don't think any director could have told him to play Ultron any different than
he
did.
Yeah.
No way.
No.
I think the number one thing you noticed about this version of Ultron, he did not head tilt once.
Nope. I did yeah. notice that, actually. What if we talk about Guardians of the Multiverse for
yeah,
a moment
yeah,
as well?
Okay, yep.
I figured we should definitely wrap up with Guardians of the Multiverse to that what was the culmination during the ninth episode, which was what if the Watcher broke his oath, which if you know about the Watcher, he is only supposed to observe and yep. not interfere at all.
Yeah, read a comic?
Yeah, well, duh.
Well, they actually changed how he was characterized specifically because of the voice actor.
Because Watcher doesn't really talk.
He does.
Well, I mean, he does,
it's
but
all,
like very minimal.
It's all like narration stuff. Yeah, he doesn't yeah. actually right. talk to the characters. But they actually changed his characterization and how he dealt with the Guardians specifically because the voice actor himself was telling a story to the developers. It's like, you guys don't understand how much this universe has meant to me and my son when we watch it together.
Right.
That's where the moment of like your stories mean everything to me came about.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah, that's completely that's because
awesome. And I love that yeah. actor no, that, as well.
He, oh yeah, he's, no, that,
he's Jeffrey, Wright.
Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright.
Yes.
Yeah, Jeffrey Wright is so fucking incredible.
Brilliant voice.
Well, and the dude bro Thor worked for this as well. It's even in the wrap up episode for Guardians of the Multiverse where it was just like, "Oh, I can still kick ass, but I'm still going to be like, I still got my pretty hair."
Yeah.
Look at me.
I think there's something to be said about the Dude Bro Thor episode because, like, yeah, it's very much the most lighthearted of the entire show.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Most absolutely the most lighthearted. But I think there's something to be said about, like, the fact that growing up with an antagonistic brother is actually what makes Thor heroic.
100%. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
like growing up with this, like, up for a very long time, he believed that that Loki was always on his side until very suddenly he realized he wasn't. That sort of like keyed and developed Thor to become the person that he was, and he didn't become a hero really until he felt the deepest kind of betrayal.
The other side is that Loki, if he remained a frost giant, was a douche, but he was an unproblematic douche. Like he was mm-hmm, just a dude right. that liked to party
harmless.
That he yeah harmless
he wasn't mischief
yeah he wasn't somebody trying to take over the fucking universe. He was just a dude that's like, bro, I'm a frost giant and ready to fucking party.
What makes the what if story so great? The animation yeah. was done superbly in the current Disney fashion, but the fact of a what if, especially in this day and age with the internet and all the fanboys, it is nothing but theories out there, and this what if just gives a whole new meaning to
well, that's beautiful
what
thing
could
of
be,
theories
you know?
Is that you're correct. In some version of this universe.
Exactly. It gives credence to so much out there.
Well, and also, like, it really helps Marvel keep the present inside the box moving forward because they can film multiple scenes
mm-hmm.
Moving forward, and they can use those scenes later in different movies if they want to.
When they shot Infinity War and Endgame back-to-back,
yeah.
the first scene that they shot was the main battle scene for at the end of Endgame. They
right.
shot that first because even in the photos, the video they show, oh, it's the first day of Infinity War. And there you can look in the background. And now that you can see what's going on, all three of them are, you know, they
yeah.
had
well, what they're wearing, the mm-hmm. what the background yeah. is, it matches.
That's exactly yeah. the scene that they were fighting. That was the last battle
so
scene.
So literally, yeah. you're not going to get Tom Holland spilling the beans because he's been like, fuck, I don't know, dude. Like, there's like eight movies that I that, shot.
He told Tom Holland to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. He's
they
like,
had to
don't say anything.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Right.
But we are at the tail end here. So let's very quickly go through our drunken scene. I got to pull up the audio for that.
Well, and it was nice. We didn't really spoil the actual last episode.
No, true.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
let's get
your
into
imagination and follow up on that. It's a great series, period. So
let's get into making a drunken scene.
Making a Drunken Scene.
Directed by Kenneth Branagh.
Does mother know you wear her drapes?
Holy shit.
So we've got two quick scenes here to finish out this episode. First one up is between the Watcher and Ultron, and this is one that we've referenced multiple times. Jack, you have some very strong feelings about casting.
I am going to do at my best James Spader.
Okay.
As Ultron.
I can do Watcher if anybody wants Watcher. I don't care. That's fine.
Go ahead. I don't want.
I I'll do it.
You're a big-headed person, so I feel like as far as representation goes, I think it's more important that you take Watcher.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened. That happened.
All you already said
all you big-headed people out there.
Where did they get it from?
I was going to come in. I was going to do it anyways, but be nicer about it. Damn.
Wow.
I think, you know, I think it's actually important that there's underrepresentation of big heads, which is funny because I'm also a big headed person, but I don't get to play the big headed roles. You don't get to play the big headed roles.
My children do.
Put the aces in their spaces. You get to play the Watcher because of your large head.
Because I was going to say my children are kind of like the Watcher where they only intervene when they really want to. Other than that, they just observe shit. Even when I tell them to do something.
Yeah, but you're like the proto big-headed person in that argument. You're the reason why they have the big head.
I'm ready to hear Jack's James Spader, so be done with it.
Jack and Scotty are on this one from What If Ultron 1, the I think second to last episode of the series.
Are you going to narrate at least Hobbit?
Yeah, I'll narrate. That's
narrate.
All right. Observes him.
I'm gonna fuck this up. The realization nearly broke the machine. With his mission complete, Ultron was now just a program without a purpose. Mm-hmm. The victor without a war. Sentenced to spend all of eternity alone.
Looks around.
Who said that?
It's pretty good, actually.
Basking in the boundless silence of his universe, Ultron ascended to a previously unattainable level of consciousness. He became aware of another. He became aware of...
I see you.
The Watcher is shocked.
There are universes beyond my own.
All right. That was not bad.
I was about to say just a touch grovelier, but... It was there.
Yeah,
was
there, that was pretty fucking close. That was solid.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of Blacklist.
Fair.
Good. Yeah, good reference right, on that.
Bruce, it's you and me on the second one here. We got What If Zombies is the one that we're doing, and we got Spider-Man and Okoye, so I can do either one.
Make him Spider-Man. Be the...
Yeah, you're not even touching Okoye.
Oh, I could do it, but I don't want to.
No, I'm... Now, and trust me, with Okoye, I am not trying to do Okoye. There's a whole market of things that are a problem with that, so I'm going to go ahead and just not even...
Just read the line. That's all I'll say.
I'll be reading the line in my own choice of voice, separately from Okoye.
I'm going to go a little... kind of a younger voice here than I usually have. Do you guys just not have horror films in Wakanda?
We don't need them. We have American reality shows.
And scene.
Wow.
Ouch.
That's
how you wanted to go out this time?
That's how I did.
Shit.
I mean, so congrats on your Valley Girl, but... Oh, Lord.
But the Dora Milaje in this version of the universe is fucked.
Yeah.
Clueless.
They're just doing
Wakanda. Yeah.
Ow.
Good God, Miss Molly.
So on that note, thank you so much for listening to this tire fire of an episode, Geeks Under the Influence, all things about What If and the multiverse of the MCU. So thank you for sticking around. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all the stuff to Geek Fathers.
That's right.
And GUI Precap.
That's right. Me.
And of course, Geeks Under the Influence and GUI Nights, all GUI Precap Nights and GUI all in the same stream. So subscribe once and you get three for the price of one, which is just zero. Bruce's anyway. Friday.
Yeah.
I don't have to pay.
Woo. Thank you so much. Stick around for next week. We're going to get back into the horror of things for Pottoween, and we'll find you next time. I'm Mike the Hobbit. Join us or die.
What if you shut the fuck up, Hobbit?
Yeah.
Join us or die. Join us or die, or I will swallow your soul.
GUIPodcast.com.
Bro, I'm a frost dried and ready to fucking party.